Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
One more game left for the Nuggets before the All-Star break. Get a chance to see Nikola Jokic start in that All-Star game, too. So pretty exciting. Joining us now, talk about those Denver Nuggets, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, Nuggets, man, the last couple of games, and I know the NBA is like this. You see a couple of games where you're scared. Then you see three-game winning streak, and you're feeling really good. But if Joker and MPJ can start to work together like I saw the last couple of games, man, look out. The Nuggets are hopeful that Murray, MPJ, and Joker turn into that big three.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just really contingent upon Michael Porter Jr. being consistent with the production that he's put on the court here in the last few games. So, yeah, you're right. I think the time with the starters back in the starting lineup has obviously, you know, he's starting to have that comfort level with the other guys again. You know, the question was put to me on one of the telecasts if I thought that that starting him at the four is the reason why he is playing so well. And I don't necessarily think the position is the thing with him. I just think diversifying his offensive game has been a big deal. I think getting more minutes on the court with Joker and Jamal and understanding where his shots are coming from and when he can be aggressive and how he can be aggressive within the framework of the offense alongside those two, I think that has been a big deal. I think Jamal and Joker's willingness to get MPJ kind of help him along in this has been a big deal too. So we'll see. I mean, what we're all hoping for is that it becomes that big three, but you know, we'll have to see more from Michael Porter Jr. before we can say, okay, yeah, they are operating at a big three status.
Chris, I think we've all been, I find myself sometimes, because I think Porter's just such an interesting study in the NBA, I find myself just watching him sometimes on certain plays to see the body language, to see how engaged he is on both defense and offense. There was a time in that, I believe it was the Milwaukee game, maybe it was the Chicago game, he's dribbling down, he's by himself, and there's two defenders in front of him, and it looks like he's going to pull up and just take the shot. And I'm thinking, no. He leaves his feet, quickly looks to his left, and just kind of does a little handoff. Is this something where you're starting to see it in Porter's head going, all right, I have to make the smart basketball plays here rather than just trying to be a hero?
Yes. And, you know, for him, that'll be a little bit of an evolution, right? So because it comes from a space in his basketball life where he's been pretty well the main option, or the offense runs through him in some way, form, or fashion. And so, you know, he hadn't had to work for much of it in terms of, you know, in terms of work to get the ball or work within the framework of an offense or work alongside players who are just as talented as he is. You know, there's not a lot of experience in that. And, you know, it's always an adjustment for scorers or guys who have been the man on every other level or on every other team to come to a space where now you're in a space where you're not the man, you're one of the men. And, you know, in particular with the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic is an MVP candidate. I mean, you're not going to get better than that on a basketball team. So you're not necessarily the best player on the team. You have to work within an offense that isn't, you know, ISO ball. It's a lot of movement. It's a lot of cutting. It's a lot of, you know, all that kind of stuff. And for, you know, a player like Michael Porter to have to get used to that, it'll take a little bit of time. But I think the good thing is that he's determined to do so. And also that the offense and the players around him recognize the talent that he is. And so they are also working hard to make sure he gets the ball so that he can be effective, because they understand that at the end of the day, when he is scoring and is a dangerous player on the floor, makes the Nuggets more dangerous team as a collective. And so I think everybody is working together to get him into the space that they need him to be.
Jamal Murray's been another guy, too. I mean, early in the season, we're talking, okay, can Jamal get to a more of a consistent scorer where he's always in that plus 20 spot? Well, he's been doing that the last several games, and that's been huge to watch. Chris, I follow Jamal on Twitter, and I don't know if you've noticed this, But it seems like Jamal's kind of, I don't want to say lightening up a little bit, but it just seems like he's having more fun lately. I'm seeing the tweets. He's taking ownership of mistakes, even though I don't think they were his fault. But it looks like he's lightening up and having a little more fun. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think as he gets older, there's times in our lives where we, whatever it is that we're doing, we think is like the most important thing in the world. And, you know, for him, you know, I think he's starting to reach a space in his life where he understands that, yeah, he's one of the faces of the franchise of the Denver Nuggets. And that is important, but maybe it's not always the most important thing. And maybe it's not so serious all the time that it's not heavy all the time. And yeah. At the end of the day, it's still basketball. He's a young man playing a fun sport on a good team. You've got all these things when you step back and look at it and go, you know, what do I have to complain about? You know, we're going to be good. When you know you're working hard, when you know you're putting in the time and the effort and the mental effort as well, and you know that you're helping your teammates get better as well, then you can exist in a different kind of a space. If you're on one side, you know that you're really not giving it your all, and you know you're just maybe 70% of what you should be doing on a daily basis. It makes things a little bit more heavy, and then the losses feel a little bit worse because I think on the inside you understand. Well, geez, it really does start with me. I'm not working hard. Our team maybe not be as good as we thought. You know, all those kinds of things. I think it's heavier. And so for Jamal Murray, even if they're going through, let's say, 3 losses in 4 games or something like that, we've seen them kind of roller coaster up and down this season. I think he understands in his head at the end of the day that the Nuggets are a really good basketball team and that he expects them to be good by the end of the season, and especially as they continue to get their individual injured players back. And so right now it's about, you know, kind of keeping things afloat, winning as much as you possibly can, and this has been a great road trip for them in that respect. And so I think as he ages, he understands that he puts things in their proper perspective, and that's what I think we're starting to see from him, especially in social media and how he interacts with the conventional media.
Chris, who's the other guy as far as MVP caliber next to Joker? Who's that next guy? Because Joel Embiid has been a monster lately. Who would you say is that number one threat to take the MVP away from Joker?
In league wide?
Yeah.
Yeah. Joel Embiid. I mean, he's having just a monster.
It's ridiculous.
Season.
It seems like he's getting better as the year goes too.
Yeah, I agree. He's just unstoppable. And, you know, the thing that you continue to hear, when you hear the comparisons between Jokic and Joel Embiid nationally, the thing that you hear the most is, well, Joel Embiid is so much better defensive player that puts him over the top over Nikola Jokic. And the perception that Nikola is a average to bad defensive player, I think right now does him a disservice because I don't think that's where he is. I think he's a good defensive player. He's not as good as Joel Embiid. That's a fact. But then maybe only a handful of players in this league are as good a defensive player as Joel is. But to say that Nikola is a liability on defense, I think is false. It's just not true. I mean, he's a much better defensive player, and he's has a much better impact on that end of the court that he's had over the course of his career. But Joel Embiid has been pretty fantastic. Also, LeBron James, when LeBron at the end of last year says, "I want my damn respect," and everybody is looking at Giannis like, well, he was the MVP, but he couldn't even get out of the second round of the playoffs, and you know, maybe it should have gone to LeBron James. And so I think we're getting a lot of sentimental LeBron James stuff happening out there as well. And so you get these three. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at in my email, one of the sports books had odds roll through. Joel Embiid had risen to the favorite to win the MVP. LeBron was second, and Nikola was third. So I think these are the three players that we're going to probably be looking at over the course of the entire season. And just if we're just going on numbers, though, the numbers that Nikola and Embiid are putting up are much better, or they're They're better than what LeBron's putting up. So it'll be interesting to see, though. There's a lot of factors that go into that, and as the Nuggets win, I think we'll see Nikola's name get more prominent.
Well, and it's interesting. I think for guys like us, Chris, that watch Nikola, especially you watching so closely with Joker, we all kind of have an idea of what it would take for him to win the MVP this year. But I mean, let's face it, the national scene, I mean, LeBron's obviously right there, Joel Embiid. Look at where the 76ers are in the standings. What does the Joker have to do? Not to show us that he could win this thing, but what does he have to do in the nationwide, NBA-wide, to earn the MVP award? Does it come down to where the Nuggets are in the standings?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, his numbers are MVP numbers. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. I mean, he's collecting triple doubles as if they're easy to get, and yeah, we all know that they're not. The Nuggets win 80% of the time. He gets a triple double. This really will have to do with the one loss record at the end of the season. And I think if the Nuggets end up with a better record, or even a similar record, and let's just call it either side a game maybe to either side of Philadelphia, that would have to me that would have to skew in the Nuggets' favor, because they play in the Western Conference, and the Western Conference on a nightly basis is much tougher than the Eastern Conference. And if you're putting up those numbers and your team is winning to that level, then I'm just going to take you, the best player, and I'm going to take you and put you up above Joel Embiid in that respect. Because while the Philadelphia 76ers have been really, obviously, good, Doc Rivers has done a great job with that team. In the Eastern Conference, there's more substandard competition than there is in the West. And numbers might be easier to come by on a more consistent basis than it would be in a conference where it's just a dogfight, every single night in that conference. So we'll see. The Nuggets are 20-15, and they have a chance to be 21-15 and end the first half of the season on a 4-game win streak. That'd be great. It's too bad that they won't be able to get Nikola all the rest he certainly has deserved over the All-Star break, but then we'll see what they have in the second half.
Yeah, no, a big second half push, and it kind of goes to my final question for you, Chris, today. Our poll question, we're asking if fans like the new, obviously new in the bubble, but the new play-in format in the NBA. I find myself kind of intrigued by it. At first, I was like, this is gimmicky. I don't know if I like it. It gives like 4 or 5 more teams incentive to not tank and keep pushing to the end of the season. So I'm kind of with it. How about you?
Yeah, I'm torn. I love it and I hate it. Because I love it because I love the tournament style. It was, I think it's fun to be able to, okay, now let's just mad dash this with a tournament to get in. However, I hate it because the season is, this year it's 72 games, but it will be 82 games. 72 or 82 games for a reason. And if you go through 72 games and you have worked hard and you have earned a spot in the top 8, why should you lose that to a team that's 9th or 10th? That's the thing that's difficult for me to reconcile. If we were doing a 50-game season and now we're just doing a tournament to get in, okay, because, weird things happen in short amount of times. But the length of an NBA season really does separate the teams who are worthy of getting in the playoffs, to those who are not. And I felt bad for Memphis last year, even though it was fun watching the play-in games. I felt bad for Memphis because prior to the bubble, Memphis was fantastic, and they had earned their right to be getting into the playoffs. They were real shaky when play resumed and the bubble started, but they were still an ace, and they couldn't hold on to that spot. And it would would be a bitter pill to swallow, especially for young teams that are looking for that first real taste of playoffs, and they've worked hard and they've gotten to that space. But entertainment wise, it's fabulous. There's no doubt about it. And I just don't know how the NBA. I think at the end of the day, I think it might go away, because I think coaches will say, jobs are on the line here. And if we worked hard and got to this space, now we lost it in one game scenario, and now it just looks like we're never making the playoffs, that's on the GM. I mean, think of how the narrative changes. over the course, you know, just in that because of one game. You're either in the playoffs and it's like, okay, our team is up and coming. We love our young talent. We love our new coach. Our GM is doing great things, to now you're not in the playoffs. And maybe that extends a 7-year streak where you've never been in the playoffs. And now it gets really sour and coaches get fired and players get traded and GMs get fired. And it just is. So I am torn on it just because of that aspect. But it certainly is entertaining. And I know that the NBA certainly cares about its entertainment value.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, when you're in the regular, you know, the best of seven format, you can lose a game. You can lose two, and it's not the end of the world, because this is what it is. It's adjustments. It's within that series that you have to try to come back in it. But this is a one game. You could have a lousy night. You could have an injury. And I'm with you, too. It's very interesting to me, but you're right. Earning 7-8 really doesn't mean you're a playoff team anymore. So that's something that'll be unique to see how it progresses. Chris, what time does coverage get started for you guys tonight with the Nuggets Pacers?
Well, yeah, so 5 o'clock would be Nuggets courtside of the pregame show. I'll be on that. Just an hour of everything you're going to need to know about the Nuggets and fun stuff too. And the Pacers, we'll get into them a little bit more. It's an interesting basketball team. So 5 o'clock on Altitude Sports, and then all the requisite social media stuff that we do as well. So we got you covered.
All right, my friend, always love it. Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, Colfax, I'm seeing this. Zach Stevens sharing this moments ago. George Payton saying that they want to bring Von Miller back. Also asked about how would they be involved in the Deshaun Watson situation, and he said he wants to be involved in everything. He wants to be aggressive in everything. It's not a no, I guess. Let's see. 42 minutes after the hour, Colfax. We got Thursday Night Special coming up next. Let's get to the latest on the Local Sports Flash.